This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We begin our number three, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas, here at Circus Sports. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, in Omaha, getting ready for all of the festivities to begin and the College World Series, by the way. So we're going to have you covered pillar to post here as a network. Jensen, great stuff having you this morning there from Omaha. Let's go to Chicago. Catch up with our guy, Colby Marcio here. Does a great job betting analyst for Betting News. Give him a follow on X as we do at Colby M. Betts. Colby, how is Chicago, my friend? Are you enjoying your 2 days of summer?
Oh, it's fantastic. I think it's going to be 80 the rest of the week.
There you go.
Will I get sun? Yes. Yes, I'll be getting my 8 miles of walking in because that's all we do here is walk.
It's exactly what you do. You enjoy it. It's the best short summer anywhere maybe in the country. You've got some baseball plays that we want to get to here on the day. Before we get into some of these player props that you have specifically, do you like that, Colby, that there's so many more options? You and I were talking a little bit about it during the break here, that I know people like to bet the traditional sides and totals in Major League Baseball, but when you get into it, do you feel like you're finding better value here in some of these player prop opportunities?
100%. People always ask me how I go about my process, and obviously I don't give away my secrets fully, but I mean, if you read my write-ups, I give you enough. I tease you a little bit on right. What I look at. But I always tell people, if you look at players on a day-to-day basis, you know where value is. You know Kyle Schwarber's hit should not be minus 115, and you should probably be on that 10 times out of 10. You know when Judge is even money, you should be on that every single time for his bases. Same thing with Shohei Ohtani. And if you look at their home run props as well, you guys know I love home run props. You know where good value is and where there isn't. Sometimes, say, hypothetical, Cal Raleigh's plus 215 home run. And I'm like, well, do I really want to bet that? And then you think again, he's having a monster season. I should probably just bet that because I hate saying this. Maybe the books do know for the first time. Maybe they are aware of something. I'm not a believer in that. I don't think the books know anything when it comes to baseball because it's such a turnover sport. They're playing right back tomorrow. They got a turnover tomorrow. There's not enough time for them to go through the odds and whatnot like they do with football, what they do with college basketball, and so on and so forth. Baseball, I feel like, is the toughest sport for them, is where you take a lot of advantage from. And there's so much value in betting player props. Some people have told me there's no value in taking total bases. Well, I've been doing it for 3 years. Sure, it's not the greatest sample size, but I do it every day. I know what I'm doing, at least somewhere. I'm not the greatest gambler in the world, but I know where there's value and where there isn't value. So I think there's a tremendous amount of value. And everyone has their own niche. Mm. Jared Smith has Yerfy Nerfies. Adam Rosenberg is doing double plays. For the love of God, do we call the number for him? No, because they're cashing. It's amazing. It's beautiful. He also got me on team total bases. That's fun. There's a million ways to bet baseball. And it's so fun. And I hope everyone finds their own niche spot because there's a billion options.
No doubt, buddy. It's why we do the Daily Diamond every single day. Mm-hmm. And every single day we have at least total bases to give out. So that's where we start. Mm-hmm. One of your plays today, Riley Green and the Tigers offense going up against Dean Kramer and the Baltimore Orioles. Love the spot here, buddy. I do think that Tarek Skubal is going to limit the O's. I am on the under 8 in this game, but I do think Detroit's offense could have their way with Dean Kramer today.
Yeah, love Riley Green's bases today at plus money. Second highest rated hitter on batter's side from box in this matchup. Ahead of him is Kerry Bonds, Kerry Carpenter. Didn't really like Kerry's matchup. It's not a terrible matchup. He is due for a good game, so I wouldn't be shocked if I'm on the wrong side today. But I think Riley's the right side. On the road this season, 302 batting average, 561 slugging, 914 OPS, and 11 elite ratings. Records 2 hits 45% of the time. Small sample size. That's why I'm only going to rattle off the 45% there. Dean Kramer, poor average hitter matchup, ISO and ground ball percentage. We want him hitting line drives. Against lefties, he's given up a 331 average with a 550 slugging and 907 OPS to those lefties, allowing 6.38 hits per game, 2.23 extra base hits per start. 77% of his arsenal is below league average. His best pitch is a cutter, which he throws 23% of the time. Excuse me. Green has a run value of 3, a 333 batting average, a 1,000 slugging percentage, and a 533 WOBA, against the sinker. I think this is a great spot for him, and I hope he cashes. He's been a little bit hot lately. I don't like backing guys that are kind of hot, but I have other plays today where guys are even more hot than that.
Colby, it's a weird feeling as a Metropolitan fan to actually have belief that day in, day out, the lineup's going to produce. And I can't believe we're getting the starting pitching. 20 games over 500. I'm playing second base. Let me ask you today, Colby, can I trust that lineup one more time? Maybe at least early against Soroka and the Nats.
Yeah, I think you and I could go out there. It would be just fine because that team's so locked and loaded. Mets, I'm taking their first five team total over today at even money at 2.5. They're the second best offense in the last 14 days, according to FanGraphs, and the number one offense in the last 7 days. Four elite hitters today, six in the current season ratings on batter's siphon box. The Mets average 2.68 runs in the first five, and the Nationals are allowing that exact number on the road, going up against Mike Soroka, who's the fourth worst pitcher on the day, has a poor average hitter matchup, WOBA and ISO, allowing 2.8 runs per outing, allowing basically five hits per outing and 2.14 extra base hits. 44% fastball, Mets murder the fastball. 35% curveballs, the Mets murder that as well. I think either Soto or Alonso go yard today. I don't want to pick between the two because they're on fire right now. I'm just going to back the entire offense in the first five innings.
Love that. And speaking of offense, we always love it when we get a matchup in Coors Field. And it may be a team traditionally that people would not look at for offensive firepower. The San Francisco Giants, Colby, and particularly Elliot Ramos, who has been maybe one of the offensive guys under the radar overall for the common fan. Yeah. But boy, has he been a huge part of the Giants' offensive success this year.
He is awesome. I'm taking his double and his home run today. I don't want to pay the 2.5 bases, even though it's plus money, because I don't want to get screwed on him hitting a double and then nothing else the rest of the day. I did it yesterday. I'm running this exact playback yesterday. I had the home run and the double. And boys, I used to be thick in high school. I think about food all the time. I was a big boy. They called me the Michelin man. And I'm thinking about meatballs for dinner. Yes, I have props. Because what goes with meatballs? You get the eggs. You got the garlic. You can't forget the breadcrumbs. Oh, would you look at that? We got onions. I know I'm supposed to have white, but we're not. Oh, this is the wrong cheese. Well, guess what? We're throwing that in. I don't have any meat with me, but I believe Antonio Sensatella does. Let's talk about Antonio Sensatella, because the meatball man himself, who has a 6.68 ERA on the year, sub-2 whip, poor rating on batter's siphon box, poor average hitter matchup, WOBA, ISO, and hard contact percentage, and K percentage, arguably the worst pitcher in baseball right now, allowing basically 8 hits per game, 2.2 extra base hits per game. He's 53% fastballs, terrible pitch, below league average. Ramos against fastballs has a run value of 5. He is the best hitter on the Giants against the fastball. He also throws a curveball that is his best pitch, which is 11% of the time. Ramos is a .333 batting average, .889 OPS, and a .158 WRC plus against that pitch. We're in Coors. If I get screwed on the double and the two hits, I can live with it because I'm paying a quarter unit on both these props, and I'm happy with that. I think Elio Ramos comes through. I think he's the best option today, and I love that guy. He's doing better against righties this season. We know last year he was a big lefty guy, but he's betting .300 against righties this season, and I can live with that.
Okay, I'm Italian. I don't know how to make meatballs. Was that a recipe you were just giving me, Colby? Was that help?
That was whatever I had in the house. Luckily, I had the breadcrumbs because we'd be screwed.
Let's stay with the Italian theme.
Yeah, look, hey, I had the bowl. I had the bowl. I think if we just had the bowl, I'd be fine. Yeah, I'm like, let me grab everything but meat.
Stay with the Italian thing. How about Vinny? Hey, Vinny Pasquantino for the Royals today. I'm looking for some offense in this lineup. Can we get some from the Paisan today?
The Italian nightmare is scorching hot. I was like, do I want to take his bases at plus 140 at 1.5? Do I want to take his HDRR? I don't remember what the price was, but I saw the home run. 8-1.
Yep.
You're going to tell me I'm not going to back the 6'4", 250-plus-pound Italian who's raking this season, and I'm glad his career is finally coming around because, good Lord, imagine being that big and not producing. That would be terrible for us Italians. Thank you, Paisan. But I think against Will Warren, he's in a really good spot, and I want to be on something with him. Bobby Witt's a decent matchup as well, so if you want to take between the two, maybe parlay both of them to get a hit, I would imagine – Bobby Witt's hit is probably the worst price of all time. So forget what I just mentioned. It's a tough spot because of how well Vinny's been doing. So if you really want a basis prop, I would suggest Bobby because he's due. But I mean, we're also due for nothing today. But I think 8-1 is an impossible number to pass up on a home run. And I love Vinny. He's one of my favorite Italians, and they have two Italians in that lineup. We need three so we can get the Rat Pack. Come on, Royals, just pick up anybody. Call Mike Piazza to coach in the hitting coach, whatever, be anything, because he was the coach of the Italian team for the World Baseball Classic. Call him.
There you go.
We need the Italians.
Yeah, and now it's going to be Francisco Cervelli, and you're going to have to meet the ball. All right, got about 40 seconds left, buddy. I'm here in Omaha. We get it underway in earnest on Friday afternoon. Any future pick, any team for you that is strong in your mind that's going to win it all here?
Oh, that's so tough. I wish I had more confidence. I keep leaning on the Tigers, but I don't know if they can keep it up.
Mm.
I just think they're fun, and I think fun is dangerous in any sport. Oh, God. It's so tough because teams are heating up, teams are cooling down, teams are coming around. Oh, the Yankees look good. The Mets look good. I don't like the Phillies. I think the Phillies are always a regular season team. I like them a lot. But when it comes to October, they're sleeping in their own beds. It's really tough for me. I don't have any confidence in any lean. I would not suggest anything. From my brain, I'm sure other people have other takes, but I really have nothing when it comes to the World Series at the moment.
I think they're fun. Fun is dangerous in any sport. And that feels like a t-shirt to me, Colby. Great stuff, my friend.
We'll get it together. We'll make them.
I can't wait to see the finished product on those meatballs. I'm sure they're going to come out fantastic. Everybody give them a follow on X at Colby M. Betts. When we come back, news or noise, and Jensen, a new leader at the United States Open, will update those odds as well. Come on back. It's VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Enjoyed the conversation with Colby Marcio in the last segment. We are going to have Rachel Dorey join us in the next segment to break down Game 4 tonight in Sunrise, Florida, between Edmonton and your reigning defending Florida Panthers. We do have an update, as we mentioned, going to break here at the United States Open. We're starting to get deep into those first rounds for some of those early tee times here, including Rory McIlroy, who is not in the lead, but he's only one off the lead of J.J. Spaun. So Rory, J.J. Spaun, they went to the Players' Championship, the fifth major, if you will, into that Monday playoff, if we all remember that, where Rory did win the Players before winning the Masters earlier this year. But J.J., pretty good form there. If you want to take a flyer on him, he's been shortened to 30-1 in the odds board. Bryson DeChambeau just made a birdie. He has already hopped in front of Rory for the second betting choice. Remember, Scotty is not going to tee off here for a while in the afternoon round.
Yeah.
So Bryson is now plus 750, Jensen, and Rory is back to 8-1. For a moment, Rory had been the sole possession of the second betting choice at 7-1. He's drifted just a dollar. But it is interesting. We're seeing multitudes of players at 2 under par. And I will say, Jensen, that is a bigger surprise to me than, say, Rory playing well in the early going. I did not see this many players under par on this golf course.
And that's why I think it's intriguing, not only throughout the afternoon, once everything does dry out a little bit, and where the discrepancy in scoring potential hole-to-hole will be with those later tee-off times. So not only today, but then hearing the players firsthand, because a practice round's a practice round.
Right.
But now getting under, you know, these first round conditions and getting an idea of how the course is really responding to what they're trying to do. Very anxious to see some of these early guys in the clubhouse, those numbers, and then the first nine, if you will, of some of the later tee time guys and how those conditions have changed.
We got major champions all up and down this leaderboard here. Wyndham Clark is just one off. Of course, he beat Rory at LACC here 2 years ago at the U.S. Open. Gary Woodland is a major champion. Gary is off to a great start here, 2 under through four. And of course, Rory McIlroy, we know about Rory, 2 under as well. And Siwoo Kim, class player in his own right, not a major champion, but he's 2 under par through four holes as well. VSiN, if you want to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you really should right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. For as little as $9.99 for your very first month, you're going to get access to the betting splits that we talk about a lot on this program here. Those betting splits come to you straight from Circa behind me, and DraftKings gives you insights into where the sharp money is coming and where it's going here for all of the sports and the action on the day. So again, see those percentages of bets and percentages of handle on every game across every major sport. It's going to make you a better bettor. There's no way around that. So get VSiN's exclusive betting splits rather for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen, I got to ask you one simple question. Is this news or noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Can we get a coach to New York stat? Jensen, I got to ask you. You fire Tom Thibodeau, okay. Like, I didn't think you should fire Tom Thibodeau. Who am I? But if you fire Tom Thibodeau, you better have a plan B. So far, they don't have a B, C, D, E, or F at this juncture. Because everybody they asked to talk to, they've been denied interview requests by those teams five times. Jensen, is this news or noise that not only the Knicks can't get a head coach, they can't even talk to another head coach right now?
Yeah, I think that there are enough front office people that would at least, before you let go of the guy that you had, have a pretty good idea if whatever potential number one or number two candidate you have on your short list is going to be available. There are ways that these guys back channel and find out right. that if that's the case. You look at some of the names they've targeted, and they are bigger ones. Of course, we know Ime Udoka, his time with the Boston Celtics, had them in a great spot as a championship-caliber club. Chris Finch, with what he's done with the Timberwolves, no shock. Again, you're looking at those coaches that have brought teams that have needed some time to kind of get right, and now they have, and they're championship contenders. I guess the one I'm kind of shocked about is Billy Donovan in Chicago, and wondering, you know, if Billy is just like, listen, I don't need the extra smoke. In New York, and I'm kind of happy with where we're trending in Chicago, although I'm sure Bulls fans would have something to say about that. And then Quinn Snyder just never struck me
right
as a big city, big lights guy. You know, of course, all those years in Utah, and what, you know, he's kind of done here with the Hawks, it just feels like he's more of like, I've got enough. I've got kind of what I need here in a big city in Atlanta, and I don't need all this scrutiny of what we do know comes with being head coach of the New York Knicks.
I don't know why anybody wants to run to the window and play the futures market next year. You can do that, though. If you want to bet on next year's champion, we don't even have one crown yet this year with OKC and Indy. OKC is the favorite, the runaway favorite. The Knicks are the second betting choice with the Pacers, by the way, at 8-1 next year. I don't know how you make that equation before you know who the head coach is, unless you just think that coaching, how much does it really matter? Right. It's more about the five guys on the floor. I mean, that's what that tells me. Right.
Agreed. Yeah. And again, there are certain instances of LeBron where, you know, that it doesn't matter. The guys are going to do what they're going to do. And, you know, the coach just puts the lineup out there and all right, boys, I'll take care of the interview requests and the media considerations. And that's it.
If you need that or somebody to roll out the basketballs, you and I can do the job. We'll be the next head coach of the Knicks. We mentioned the odds board. You're there in Omaha. We're getting ready for some fantastic shows. Certainly with Money Moves and Follow the Money later on today, right there from Rocco's. And look, I can't wait for you to give me the lay of the land of what that looks like, just to live vicariously through you for the next couple days here. So much talk of the famed Rocco's, home of the Jello Shot. And the numbers have been changed. I know JVT was very upset with the initial numbers that came out yesterday. Now, these, again, are from us here at buythebooks.bet. If you see that, it's not a, don't go there. There's no real website. This is recreational purposes only. But look at how the numbers have changed. So JVT was 10-1 yesterday, updated to 5-1. Look at Pauly, because we know Pauly, unless they're, you know, like a virgin shot, that's the only way he would be involved at 5,000-1 for actual numbers of shots, right? Derek is plus 350. It's a little bit longer than I believe it was a day ago. The field has gone from 5-1 to 4-1 there. And Stormy is now single digits at plus 825. Jensen, I'm surprised. You're single digits at 9-1. And Bill is skyrocketed up the board here. And maybe that sharp money is coming from the Borgata there in our conversation with Thomas Gable. He threw out there that he thought Bill was a long shot, but should be a shorter shot, 15-1. And then Mike Palm has been shorted as well. What's your take on the adjusted odds 24 hours later?
The advanced scouting of the talent just happened to run into the rest of the group here at check-in yesterday. You could tell a lot of energy. Mitch shot me a text last night. They're out scouting around. And I know Mike's saying today on our show, everyone descending upon Rocco's. And again, listen, as a ball player, you know, you get into town, there are certain road destinations in the big leagues.
Yep.
All right. There's certain places where you're like, oh, I can't wait, especially a Thursday night, a Friday night, a Saturday night. You know, you got to know what pacing does. And credit where it's due. Listen, Stormy, born and raised out west, SDSU alum. Like, if there's anyone that knows the lay of the land, knows how to pace, know when to kind of throttle down and be able to go with it, she can. JVT out in Vegas, a native there now. I think we are looking at where most of the sharp money is on the field. In our esteemed crews from both Circus Sports and VSiN out here, those who are not named just yet, but we may find them in infamy here soon, Dave, in the next 48 hours, seeing what performance they could put up there. But I would love nothing more than for my number to drift into double digits and then see where some of the money comes in on that one. So we'll have the lay of the land here later today. We'll jump down there and see if some people are all talk. Do we have pretenders? Do we have contenders? And then we'll get a full scouting report. And I would anticipate more odds movement throughout the day. And then when we do the show again tomorrow morning,
watch out for Wilbo. That's all I'm going to say for the field bet there. 4-1. Wilbo is going to be a tough man to beat out there without some of the responsibilities that others are going to have. I know he's going to be on some shows as well. So be careful of Wilbo. But if you dropped it to 10-1 or better, Jensen, it's an auto bet. It's Scotty Scheffler. You're the Scotty Scheffler of the Jello Shot Chat. You go to 10-1, my man. I'm hopping right on that wager. Of course, we're going to be out there, as we mentioned, for the next couple days. Going to be a lot of fun. And into Saturday, too, by the way. So you can check out all the shows there from Rocco's in Omaha. So money moves today at noon and tomorrow. Follow the money. Check this out. So 4 p.m. Eastern today and tomorrow. And then again, Saturday morning, it's going to be on as well for a special broadcast there at 10 a.m. This is, of course, sponsored by our friends at Circa, Derek, Wilbo, Mike Palm, all the guys there that do a great job here at Circa Sports. So check us out. And if you're out there, by all means, please go up and say hi to our crews. A lot of fun. I'm glad everybody's out there having a good time. It should be good fun had by all. When we come back, Rachel Dorey is going to join the program as well. Let's break down what she thinks we might see tonight. Game 4, very important game down there in Sunrise, Florida. That is next here at VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Thursday edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. We always love catching up before a big-time game. They don't get a whole lot bigger than Game 4 tonight down in Sunrise, Florida, with Rachel Dorey. Give her a follow on X at Rachel Dorey. Does a great job at Betalytics and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Rachel, happy Thursday to you. This Jensen and I have been talking about it a lot over the last couple days. There's only one Game 7, right? You can only have a Game 7 in a series. But if it feels like it's a Game 7 hidden inside of a Game 4 body, could that be what we get tonight down in Sunrise, that Edmonton has to realize that, man, we can't play that same way and fall back 3-1?
Yeah, you couldn't play that way against the San Jose Sharks and win a game, let alone the Florida Panthers, defending Stanley Cup champions. So they've got to know, and they're playing mind games with the media a little bit. Yesterday was supposed to be an off day, and a bunch of players took the optional, and some of the media were angry. And I mean, there's more important things in the world going on to be angry about, so I'm not really sure that those mind games are really going to have an impact at all. But I look at this, and Edmonton has to win tonight, right? They've lost home ice advantage when they lost won at home. And so they need to gain it back, because the way I look at this is, if Edmonton wins tonight, whoever wins game five is going to win the cup. Mm. But if Florida wins tonight, I think Edmonton wins at home, and then Florida wins the cup on home ice in game six. I don't see Edmonton losing four straight. That would be kind of nuts. So I look at that. That's kind of how I'm approaching this, is it's going to be Florida in six, or it'll be the winner of game five.
Yeah, Rach, and to that end, Dave and I have kind of been talking this morning about, you know, we get to game four of a series and then Stuart Skinner turns into Dominic Hasek, and the numbers bearing it out. His last six game fours, undefeated, 6-0, two shutouts, and I believe it's either three or four games where he's allowed two goals or fewer. I threw it out, and I was telling Dave, I'm intrigued your thoughts on it. If you feel Edmonton is the side tonight, yet you don't want to, you know, lay the price, would you look towards potentially an alternative way to play this and maybe go with a Florida team total under, just knowing what Skinner's prowess has been in game fours and beyond?
Yeah, so we don't even know if Stuart Skinner's starting tonight, which to me is kind of crazy. Like, when you look at the fact that he's 6-0 in game fours in his career, two shutouts, like you said, and a 95.5 percentage of shots saved. I don't know how you don't start him. I think it's borderline negligence if you don't. Ooh. So I think you kind of have to start him. Honestly, a shutout pays like plus 10,000. So like, throw $3 on that just in case, because 33% chance that it hits seems pretty good. Do I think it's going to hit? No, but is it worth $3 to turn into 300? Yeah, it is, objectively speaking. So I like that. But I think the way you play it is exactly how you say it. It's alternatively, go after something else. Go after the team total under. Go after players' point totals on the under. Like, Sasha Barkov has objectively not been good offensively in this series, and yet he's still negative money to score a point. And so I look at that and I go, if you can get Barkov at plus money to not record a point tonight, I would probably take that. And go from that perspective. I think Edmonton's going to have to come out desperate. So for me, I look at the opposite. At Betalytics.com, we have Sergei Bobrovsky projected for 32 saves, and his line's at 26.5. So I'm very obviously going to play that line, but I'm also going to ladder him up. I'm going to play him for 29, probably 31, and I might play him for 33, because that usually pays about plus 300. So I look at that. I think Edmonton's going to have to be really good, like Dave pointed out. And I think the alternate way to play it, like you pointed out, Jensen, is to maybe attack the opposite goalie and to say, okay, he's going to have to be really good to match Stuart Skinner. And he's had a couple really solid games. So I look at this and I think it's a legitimate opportunity to get some serious plus money here on the goaltenders, be it a Skinner shutout, a Florida team total under, or a Bobrovsky saves ladder.
You know, we've talked a little bit about, and certainly going into game three, the ice conditions and how different that was going to be from Edmonton down to Sunrise. Is that was that tangible in game three in your estimation? Did that really, I mean, Draisaitl didn't record a shot. Connor did look a step slower, if that's possible for him. Like, is it just because of that, or are we not giving enough credit to Florida's defense?
Yeah, so I'm actually very fortunate. I'm engaged to somebody who used to be the head ice tech in the NHL.
Oh.
So I asked him about this because I was like, what is happening with the ice? And I got a full laundry list explanation of it. So here we go. The ice in Florida is absolutely horrendous. And we're not going to sit here and blame the ice techs, because basically what happens is, in Florida, he looked at the temperature, he looked at the humidity, and he texted the Florida guy and was like, yo, what's up? The humidity in Florida that day in Sunrise was so high that basically what they had to do was they had to pump so much cold air into the building. So if you noticed on the close-up, I believe it was when Bennett scored the breakaway goal, when he made that cut away from the net, usually what you'd see on a cut like that is snow coming up. You saw actual chunks of ice coming up. And what that means is it's too hot outside and too cold inside. So they pumped too much cold air into the building. It made it too cold for the ice, and the ice got brittle. And when the ice gets brittle, it really is a detriment to things like passing the puck, things like getting clean shots off. So there's your Dreisaitl answer. Yes, Florida was very good defensively, but they played the ice to a T in the sense that they knew that Dreisaitl wasn't going to be able to really drag it into a shooting spot that he likes. And from a skating perspective, when you have brittle ice like that, it becomes borderline dangerous for guys like Connor McDavid to go full speed, because when you have chunks of ice coming up, your edge can catch a rut. And when you're going that fast, you could literally go flying into the boards and smash your shoulder into a thousand pieces. So I'm not going to sit here and blame the Florida Ice Techs, but at the same time, there are things they can do in terms of monitoring dew point, monitoring the temperature at ice level, to make sure that the ice isn't that brittle. And so I'm kind of hoping today that they're monitoring the temperature of the ice to make it so that the ice is not as brittle, because the reality is this is the Stanley Cup final, and it is inexcusable to have poor ice to the point where players are limited by something other than their own injuries or their own gameplay to perform at their best. So they need to do everything they can. And I believe the NHL is sending Dan Craig, who's that he oversees the ice for the entire league, down to kind of help with some quality control there.
Rach, I love the explanation. You just gave me a flashback to when we had to explain to people why the humidor was needed in Denver and in Arizona. So really good stuff right there. particular player props that might stand out to you on both sides tonight? Anything that really has caught your eye or recommendations for people if they want to jump on it that way?
Yeah, so I'm, like I said, I'm going to wait to see about Stuart Skinner, but I'll probably play his shutout if he's playing, just because a 33% chance of it hitting and an implied odds of less than 5%. Like, you want to talk about value. That's kind of crazy. The Bobrovsky saves ladder. But there's one parlay that's hit in two of the three games. Now, granted, it hit in both Edmonton games, but I think if the Oilers are going to win tonight, Dreisaitl's going to have to score and McDavid's going to have to get 2 points. So when you combine those, it's plus 225. I think that's incredible value. And you kind of have to hope that Edmonton pulls through tonight. Another guy I'd be watching for is Evan Bouchard. Mm. He's had multiple multi-point games. He's also, his shot slider, sky high. He's going to be shooting the puck a ton, because for the Oilers power play to work, he's going to have to start kind of drawing guys in. And so the Evan Bouchard shot slider is really, really enticing to me. 4 shots is plus money. 5 shots is huge plus money. 6 shots, 7 shots. I do think that this guy is going to pepper the net based on the puck movement and what Edmonton usually does when their power play has gone cold. So that's something I would really watch out for, because you can get, I believe, 7 shots at close to plus 500.
Rachel, Kelly Bidlin's coming up next with Gil Alexander in a numbers game. He just texted, I thought there'd be no science involved in this conversation. I'm with Kelly. That was a fascinating explanation on the ice, but it's a real tangible thing. Does it lend to an under too? Because we're waiting for an under. We haven't gotten one. All three games so far have gone over. If that ice is not fixed in time, and you said they're going to be, it's kind of like the Pony Express is coming, try to save the day tonight to get better ice quality. If they don't get it, could I look to an under 6.5?
I think you could look to an under. And generally speaking, had these teams not been sailing over the over in every single game, I would be hammering the under, because when you have bad ice, you get bad bounces. The passes are not crisp. You get pucks flying and bouncing in this way and that way, and it's just absolutely terrible. And I've seen so many games where it's like 2-1 or 1-0 kind of thing because of that. But these teams, for whatever reason, are figuring out a way to score. And so I would be careful if the under if the under gets to plus money at any point. Ooh. Then yes, I would probably take that as a value bet. Do I think it will? Probably not. But that is the right line of thinking, in the sense of, like, bad ice is historically good for unders.
Fascinating conversation, Rach. Enjoy game 4. We'll catch up again next week.
Sounds good. Sorry for the science, boys.
Oh, we like the science. It just goes over my head. I failed physics in high school. Our best bets are coming up next year. It's VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here on the Thursday edition, and we do have some movement at the United States Open. And first of all, Jensen, I saw a tweet from our buddy Ian McMillan, Ian McBeth's great handle on X, and Ian just tweeted out, "This isn't the Oakmont I was promised." I second that emotion, Ian. What is going on? It's J.J. Spaun is 4 under par through 9. And you go, okay, that's an outlier. Everybody else is struggling. No. Everybody else is not struggling. And right now in the odds board, Scottie Scheffler, who is not teed off, has drifted to 3-1 in the betting market. So think about that. If you bet Scottie all week long at whatever, 285, 265, whatever number you might have got, he hasn't even teed off, and he's already drifted at DraftKings to 3-1 without hitting a ball yet. So there's always kind of a lesson in that. We talk about it in first-round leader bets. Sometimes those afternoon wave guys, just see where those guys are teeing off. They announce these things on Tuesdays, right? So if you knew Scottie was going to tee off later, you knew theoretically he'd be behind. And so maybe you get a little bit of better price on him, even by just the fact that he hasn't teed off and somebody else has made a slight run. So just another way to get better numbers on some of these golfers. Bryson DeChambeau, who was once 1 over par, is now 1 under par. So he's brought it all the way back with 2 birdies. He's vaulted back up to the second betting choice. Remember, he had drifted over double digits, plus 550 now. Rory, solid as a rock, steady as she goes. 2 under par is plus 750. The big Swede's off to a good start here, 1 under par. He's at 12-1. Not a good start here for Xander Schauffele. He's drifted to 40-1 here as he's set to make a big number. So, Jensen, very quickly, the early returns are going to be, from people like me, this is too easy. This is not what we signed up for, America, in our U.S. Open. We want it to be tougher, but right now, that's bringing other players into the field, and maybe that's good news if you're a Scheffler backer and you get a slightly better price on him before he ever tees off.
I mean, how about Gary Woodland at 3-under through 5? You've got, you know, Wyndham Clark, who I know I have backed in a couple of different pools that I'm in. Siwoo Kim was someone that I think we had made mention of potentially in a top 10 market, is out quickly. Ben Griffin, you know, again, the creatine does a body good. He's looking okay so far, even par. I wonder if there are, you know, like guys like Shane Lowry, who, you know, we talked with Rex about, he really liked him 3 over through 7. Some of these other big names that are out and are having some trouble early. We talked big names potentially to miss the cut. And I mean, Matty Fitzpatrick, 2 over through 5. Xander, as you mentioned, 2 over through 7. Hideki's 2 over through 8. Keegan Bradley, 2 over through 8. So intrigued with this early. So yes, we've had guys that have been able to take advantage, but then I think Oakmont starts to stretch itself out and say, okay, all right, come on, get me, big boys. Let's see what you can do here. So I think we got more carnage ahead here in the afternoon.
I will say these are, as you mentioned, like Gary Woodland, people that don't learn. I mean, he won the U.S. Open in 2019. You're right. I mean, these are class players. Wyndham Clark, even though I was looking to fade Wyndham, not looking good right now. Another U.S. Open champion. So there's pedigree at the top of this leaderboard. Again, I kid J.J. Spaun, maybe not the class pedigree that we're talking about with these other guys, but he did get into that final in a playoff with Rory McIlroy at the Players' Championship, and that should not be discarded as well. Let's get to some of our best bets, of course, today. They are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. You're out there, College World Series time. We'll get to some of those plays here in a second. But, Jensen, in pocket for those VSiN Pro subscribers, Tigers, it's Scooble Day here. You think that's going to be tough offensively, obviously, for Baltimore, but maybe tougher for Detroit, too. Can we get an under in this one?
Yeah, I like the under 8, and again, predicated, as you mentioned, Tarek Skubal Day continuing his dominance. I do believe we don't get in front of that freight train. I think that Dean Kramer could keep the Tigers at bay, so I believe that the under 8, like I said, 4-2, I could envision here, 5-2, still you're a winner. I just feel that Skubal has been so ridiculously good, and I don't know where your resistance comes from a Baltimore lineup that... you're asking more from Gunnar Henderson, Ryan O'Hearn. Can some of the righties get to Tarek Skubal early? If not, This feels like a dead under, and we'll stick with it, man. Tarik Skubal-Day, love to back him, and potentially some player props later on today as well.
Okay, because you are there, obviously, in Omaha for a reason, and that it's a really good reason, the College World Series. Let's break down some of these games today and tomorrow. Let's start with Arizona, a team you saw up close and personal down there in Chapel Hill against Coastal Carolina. What do you see in this one today?
Yeah, okay, so for people that have never been out here, you're looking at, you know, where this ballpark potentially plays a bit larger than some of the regional and super regional sites. So it is a big league ballpark, if you will, as far as the dimensions go, and one that is kind of spacious here. So I look at Arizona Coastal Carolina, first game of the docket tomorrow afternoon, 9.5 the total. That's where I'm targeting, Dave. I do like the under. I feel Coastal has got a boatload of pitching. The great Lou Finocchiaro, I know, is going to be very invested in watching this game bear down for Lou and the rest of Wildcat Nation. But Arizona, you know, Owen Krymkowski is going to be a Team USA member. Smith Bailey, who started the winner-take-all game on that Sunday in Chapel Hill. Back into their bullpen, though, Casey Hintz, Tony Pluta, I think finds a way to limit Coastal's opportunities offensively. Don't rarely see, Dave, when you have single digits for a college baseball total. That is an automatic flag raised for me, so ooh. I do like the under 9.5 for that first game tomorrow afternoon.
Second game tomorrow is going to be the Ville against the Beavers of Oregon State here. We're seeing right now Oregon State, $1.60 betting favorite here in the money line. Comeback on the Cardinal is $1.24. Total sitting there of 10. What's the play here in game number two?
Yeah, respecting the marketplace too here for, I think, pitching on both sides. And again, we had Mike Palm on earlier in the show, talked about the prowess that Oregon State has, not only in the rotation, but also the depth of their staff overall. The same can be said for Dan McDonald's crew here from Louisville. And the Cardinals having to go through what was a pretty intensive ACC schedule, especially at the top. They've got opportunities to do that. Dynamic offensively, we'll see if they try and have some speed pressure early against Oregon State's arms. But again, another lower total here for me, and I do like the under in both those games on Friday.
Saturday action here. We got the Racers, Murray State, going up against UCLA. How about the Bruins? Massive favorites here, 280 total here, sitting at 11. And right now you can do the spread here if you want to play UCLA minus 2.5 runs. You got to lay $1.15 here. Do we have a live dog in Murray State?
Yeah, we do. Cinderella alive and well. And boy, are they riding the highs out here. Hashtag go Racers for everyone that wants to jump on the team from Kentucky. Here's what you like about it is that just the way that they've come in and how they have handled some really premium opponents, Dave. Yes, UCLA, very, very good offense. Do believe their frontline starting pitching will be okay. But again, it remains to be seen who they start. If they save their ace again for potentially a 1-0 game, they think they can get by. I don't think that's a great strategy. I do think Murray State very live here, plus 210. Shop around for your best money line price. They will be batting first here, so if you want to jump on them, be able to get them, and excited to see what Murray State does in that opener on Saturday.
And it does feel like the heavyweight matchup everybody's been waiting for. The last game here on Saturday will be the SEC battle here. It just means more between LSU and Arkansas. Really tight numbers here, $1.10 for the LSU side, $1.20 in Arkansas, total sitting at 10. What do we make of this matchup?
Again, I don't want to be a broken record, but still, you have really premium pitching. And again, both offenses very good in LSU and Arkansas. But great pitching, Dave, will always be great hitting. And that's what I expect here at the nightcap. Some have said this one is going to look like a movie when they pan the stands for a sold-out TD Ameritrade ballpark here. I cannot wait to watch it myself once I get home. But yeah, I do think pitching rules the day in that opener. And whoever falls to the loser's bracket, boy, do they have a Herculean task in front of them.
Great breakdown, as always, Jensen. Of course, we've got a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. All you got to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card when you do in the first 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You're going to get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. Then First Bet is going to give you a $100 deposit match. VEASAN will complete the trifecta with a free VEASAN Pro subscription through October 31st. That is a $200 value in and of itself. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Jensen, buckle up, my friend. Can't wait to see the rest of your day looks like. Of course, we got you covered here. A numbers game coming up next with Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin. We're going to have Zach Cohen on with his NBA Finals best bets as well. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.